a vessel unto honor, sanctified. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. It is important to notice that this instruction is given, not to the world, but to the church, to those who are believers in Christ, and who are consecrated to Him and desirous of being used in His service. If a counsel were given to worldly people, no such incentive would be held out, for such have no ambition to be in the Lord's service. The world can better appreciate such maxims as, honesty is the best policy, etc., for temporal good is all they seek. Yet it is indeed a good thing for worldly men to purge themselves of evil dispositions and practices. Moral reforms are always commendable as steps in the right direction, and we are always glad to see worldly men trying to break away from the bondage of bad habits, from the drink habit, and from lying, profanity, and other vices. But such purging from the filth of the flesh can never render such vessels fit for the Master's use. With all their efforts at cleansing, they are still unclean, and the Lord desires clean vessels for His use. It is only when, by faith, we are plunged in the cleansing blood of our Redeemer, that we are clean and acceptable to God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. But having been thus reckonedly cleansed from sin, and clothed in the pure robe of Christ's righteousness, it is all important that we strive to make this reckoned righteousness an actual thing, to the extent of our ability, for only so can we prove ourselves worthy of the imputed righteousness. It is purely of divine grace that we are reckoned of God as righteous, before we have actually become so. Seeing in us the desire to be righteous, and the effort to be so in His appointed way, God, accepting the will for the deed, reckons us righteous now, and treats us as sons, since we have been redeemed from the curse, and have accepted this gracious provision for reconciliation. If, however, after being thus reconciled to God, and reckoned righteous, our course of conduct proves that we no longer love righteousness, if we do not endeavor to make the reckoned righteousness an actual thing by a constant endeavor to purge out the old leaven of sin, if we are content to let it remain, and to work in us, and if we neglect to strive against it, then we are proving by such a course that our love of righteousness is growing weaker. And we are proving our unworthiness of the Lord's gracious reckoning in our favor. But if, on the contrary, we are striving daily to purge out the old leaven of sin, if we are not merely working it down occasionally and allowing it again and again to ferment and disturb the whole spiritual being, endangering its complete souring and spoiling, but purging it out by constantly resisting it, cleansing our thoughts, words, and deeds with the truth, and cultivating the blessed fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace, then, indeed, as the Apostle affirms, we shall be vessels meet for the Master's use. And not only so, but the Lord can honor such vessels, because they honor Him, they fairly represent Him and His cause. If they are meek and humble-minded, not inclined to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, the Lord can exalt them to positions of trust and honor without injury, either to themselves or to the cause, and thus they are more and more sanctified and prepared for every good work. Let as many, therefore, as would be honored and used of the Master now and hereafter, as many as have this hope in them, seek to purify themselves, to purge out the old leaven of sin. In the language of another forceful illustration, let us endeavor to war a good warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And be assured that in these duties we have the work of a lifetime, and even at its close we will still find the necessity for the robe of Christ's righteousness, to cover the remaining deformities of our character. While the purging here spoken of refers to the general cleansing from all sin and uncleanness, the Apostle has special reference on that occasion to purging from a disposition to hearken to the false doctrines of those who would subvert the faith of the Church. His counsel is to avoid foolish questions and strife about words to no profit, to shun profane and vain babblings which increase only unto more ungodliness, which savor more of bombast and self-exaltation, and of truth and godliness, and, on the contrary, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. There is much significance in that word study, and only the studious find the narrow way to the divine approval and acceptance. Study to show thyself approved. Study the doctrine, study your course of conduct, to keep it in harmony with the doctrine. Study how to promote the peace and prosperity of Zion, and how to shield yourself and others from the missiles of error and from the poison of an evil, worldly spirit. Study to perform the duties of a faithful soldier of the cross, the seemingly insignificant, as well as the bravest and noblest deeds. A soldier has many seemingly trivial duties to perform, and he is as really doing his duty as a soldier when he is polishing his armor, foraging, cooking his meal, cleaning camp, clearing the way or building bridges for the army to pass as when he is fighting the enemy. All such necessary incidental work is entirely compatible with his commission as a soldier, and is not to be considered entanglements or hindrances. And these things cannot be avoided or carelessly done without a measure of unfaithfulness. So with the Christian soldier. The routine of life, housework, daily toil, any and everything incidental to a proper and honest provision of things needful for ourselves and those dependent on us for support, as well as provision for the prosecution and care of the Lord's work, all this is a proper part of our engagement as soldiers of the Lord. The Apostle Peter was as truly serving the Lord when catching the fish from whose mouth he got the coin wherewith to pay the Lord's taxes and his own, as when proclaiming, "The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." The Apostle Paul was as truly a soldier of the cross, and doing his proper work as such when making tents, rather than be chargeable to any, as when, at Mars Hill, he preached Jesus and the resurrection. Whatever is done with a view to the glory of our Lord, the captain of our salvation, or for the benefit of any of our fellow soldiers, or for our own preparation for this warfare, or in the discharge of obligations which our captain has recognized and approved, this is proper work for us as soldiers, and not entanglement in the affairs of this life. But the Christian soldier must study to perform even the commonest duties in a manner creditable to his calling. Nor must he permit himself to become entangled with other things which do not relate to his duties as a soldier, and thus to be sidetracked. For instance, if a soldier knowing how to repair watches were to divert his attention from his regular duties, neglect his camp and battle duties, and the commands of his captain, and the proper work of a soldier to acquire some extra compensation by this means, he would be an unfaithful soldier. And so the Christian who turns aside to seek some personal, temporal advantage to the detriment of his duties as a soldier, is likewise, to some extent, an unfaithful soldier, and likely to be drawn out of the ranks entirely. Study to show thyself approved. Study the Word. Study yourself that you may become well acquainted with yourself, that you may know your talents for service, and in what directions they lie, and your weak points, and how they may be guarded against, that you may know both your abilities and your shortcomings. Then study to avoid error, and to shun all foolish questions, and profane and vain babblings. Remember, that only the foundation of God standeth sure, and that all other foundations are worthless and all other theories must come to naught. But the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19. And if any man desire honor from God, let him not fail to seek it in God's appointed way along the pathway of humility, for the Lord giveth his favors to the humble. If you would be a vessel fit for the Master's use, and a vessel of honor, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Do not be in a hurry about it either, but whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, beginning, and ever continuing to cleanse your earthen vessel, that it may be fit for the Master's use. 1. R. 1396, Z. 1902, page 318, page 1.